Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, congratulations, you have all survived Christmas. How was it?
Great.
Isn't it? It's wonderful. Not everything went perfectly, but it all went. Right? Exactly. Yeah. It came to pass. Anyway, so guys, it is wonderful to be gathered again, once again, in our Father's house. Because we need him, because we need his forgiveness, we need his love, we need his grace, we need his mercy, we need his strength, we need him, and we just want to rest in him today and let him serve us. We talk about the worship service, and that is what we need to remember it is. It is him serving us because he's the giver and we receive, right? And so this morning, let us begin. Remembering the day that he began this relationship of service in our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for another morning to be in your presence, to be able to hear your word, to hear your forgiveness, to hear of your love, and to be able to respond in worship and praise for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would be present here among us. Give us words, help us, Lord, to understand. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time, change us, Lord, as we are in the presence of the living God. All this we pray. Amen. And now that we come into God's presence, it is time for him to begin serving us. And the first way that he serves us is with forgiveness. So let us bring our sins, our problems, our shortcomings to the foot of the cross and lay them down right now by confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that we are still in the glow of Christmas and the coming of the Christ child, let's sing some hymns together, celebrating the day.
Sorry.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Chigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. And the sermon text for today is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites to be required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, little Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what is the custom the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. All right, kids, it is now time for the children's message, so come on forward. Okay. Is there anything you guys have been looking forward to lately? New Year's? You're looking forward to New Year's now? Christmas is behind us. Who's thinking about that anymore? New Year's is the new thing, right? So what are you guys going to do at New Year's? What happens at New Year's? Anything? You celebrate the New Year. Do you stay up late? Yeah. Do you have, like, fun? Do you have a lot of food? Yeah, so there's stuff that's you're looking forward to, right? At Christmas, we've gone through this entire time of Advent, and Advent is all about getting ready for the coming of Jesus, right? And so all through Advent, we're anticipating and looking forward, and not just to the gifts under the Christmas tree, but to what Jesus did when he came into this world, right? And so there's a whole bunch of different ways that we celebrate Christmas, right? What was one way that we celebrated Christmas? Who was here for the kids program? Remember this? No? We had a happy birthday service for Jesus. And everybody got party hats. And everybody got a noisemaker. And people got balloons. And we sang happy birthday to Jesus in the middle of the service. Does that sound pretty cool? Yeah, kind of makes sense, right, if it's Jesus' birthday. What other ways have you guys celebrated Christmas? What did you do? You decorate Christmas trees. Excellent. Anybody wear like a special outfit, like clothes? Marty, could you stand up? This is my big brother. He knows how to celebrate. See this? Yeah, he's got a good look. Oh, here we go. So there's a lot of different ways to celebrate Christmas, right? Well, there was a guy in the temple in today's reading, and he had the exact same experience, only he had been waiting an even longer time for Jesus to come. The Holy Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, the one that God was going to send to save his people. And he waited, and he waited until he was very old. He waited. All right? Do you think he ever got impatient? Do you ever think he just was like, God, what are you doing? Why am I not seeing this yet? But one day, Jesus showed up at the temple. Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple just like they were supposed to do the sacrifices for the baby. And Simeon was able to hold the baby that he had been waiting for his entire life. And you know how Simeon celebrated? He wrote a song. Yeah, I know a lot of people did this about then, right? Because Mary wrote a song, and Elizabeth wrote a song, and now Simeon wrote a song. And the song actually has a special name. Do you know what the name of the song is? Get this. Nunc Dimittis. You say it? Nunc Dimittis. Very good. It's Latin, which is why it doesn't make a lot of sense to you. And it means, Lord, let your servant depart. And basically what Simeon was saying in his song is, Lord, you are fair, you followed through with your promise, and I have now seen Jesus. And now I can depart in peace. Which is kind of cool, because if you think about it, even if Simeon died shortly after he wrote this song, one of the last things he would see in his life was Jesus. And what's the first thing he's going to see when he gets to heaven? Kind of cool, huh? Yeah. But anyway, so Simeon celebrated by speaking a song that we've now put to music. And so it's a really amazing way to celebrate. And so let's read the song that Simeon said. All right, you ready for this? He said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into the world to live for us and to die for us and to save us. Lord, we just celebrate your coming, celebrate everything you've done. And we love you and we thank you for forgiving our sins. All this we pray in your name. Amen. All right, guys.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That was the swan song of old Simeon as he stood in the temple holding that baby in his arms. Lord, at last I get to see your salvation which has come to all people. And now I can go. I can go in peace, knowing my sins are forgiven. I have seen your salvation. And how blessed Simeon is in that declaration. And he continues talking about the consolation that has come with this Savior, that has come with this salvation. Now, consolation is different than counselation. Consolation is when somebody gives advice. But consolation is when people bring peace, help us through difficult times. And so Jesus is our consolation. And this is what Simeon was waiting for, was the consolation. Because for so many years, the people had been under the weight of the law. The law that told them, you have sinned, the wages of sin is death, therefore you are all condemned to die forever. But I will send a Savior. That message is all through the Old Testament. I will send a Savior. That is the salvation that Simeon was looking for. That's the salvation that he saw in that baby Jesus. And that's the salvation that you and I see every time we look at the cross, every time we look at that baby Jesus at Christmas time, every time we look at the cross on Good Friday, and every time we look at the empty tomb on Easter, we're reminded of what Jesus has accomplished for you and for me. That salvation, that consolation. And then the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon. And as he held that baby, he started to proclaim what was going to happen. He told Mary that she was going to have to suffer. There's going to be great suffering. Many will rise and fall because of this baby, because of what he is and because of what he's going to do. This Jesus is going to make an impact on the world. And a part of that will be suffering. Suffering that you and I don't look forward to, but it's a part of our Christian life. But we don't have to worry about it because we know that's not all there is. Christmas has come and gone. Is that all there is? No. No, it's just the bare beginning. This is where God has sent his Son into the world to become human, to take your place and to take my place, so that he bore our sins to the cross, so that he kept the law perfectly in your name and my name, earning for us the righteousness of God. And so with that righteousness of God and that forgiveness of sins, you and I can look forward to, so that we can depart in peace, like old Simeon. We can depart in peace, for we have seen the salvation. We know that our sins are forgiven. We have the goodness of Jesus, and by that we will be judged. Not by our sins, because Jesus took them away. We are saved from what we deserve. So he's moved by the Spirit of God, and he moves into the temple. He sees God, and he starts to bless God. How can a mortal man bless God? We bless God by praising him. And you know what praising him really is? It's being aware of all that he's done and being grateful, being thankful, and voicing and living out that thankfulness and that gratitude, saying, Lord, I know what you have done, and I'm grateful. I know that I can live forever with you in heaven because of the goodness that you've given me and you've taken away my sins. Thank you, Lord. And we live that out in our lives as we serve him and serve his church. We are so blessed, you and I, to have the eyes that see salvation, those eyes of faith that come through the gift of the Holy Spirit as he works through us, through the word and sacraments, to build in us that faith that saves, that faith that receives the wonderful gifts that Jesus lived and died to give us. as he lived for us, earning for us the righteousness of God, and died for us, giving us the forgiveness of sins. And we are blessed as we receive and live forever that wonderful life with God. Even in this life, we have that life filled with the joy of salvation as we continue to rejoice in what God has accomplished for you and for me. Yes, December 25th is past. It's all over. But it's not really, because we continue to live in the wonderful joy of Christmas. That wonderful joy of Christmas that will last throughout the year as you and I continue to remember our baptism, as you and I continue to remember the gifts that God has given us, as we hear the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. As we continue to receive these wonderful blessings, you and I continue to rejoice in that joy of Christmas, the coming of God as a human being to take away our sins and give us His goodness. Are we blessed? Are we blessed to have the eyes to be able to see that? Simeon says, Lord, now I can depart in peace. And we can too. You know, there's so many people in this world who are afraid to die. They don't want to talk about anything that has to do with the grave or death. Oh, that's nasty stuff. We don't want to hear about that. But we are blessed as Christians. We don't have to have that kind of attitude. We can know that death is nothing more than a passing on from this life to the better life. The better life that we live with God in heaven forever. How blessed you and I are to have that wonderful gift of faith, that trust, that knows for certain. I did some work in the southwest corner of North Dakota, some mission work, knocking on doors, asking people, are you absolutely certain you're going to heaven? If you're to die tonight, are you absolutely certain you're going to heaven? 90% of the people answered, no. How can anyone be sure he's done enough? Who is their God? Upon whom do they trust for their salvation? Jesus? No, they're trusting in themselves. They've set themselves up as an idol. This is 90%. The other 10% said, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because I'm a good guy. I'm better than the guy down the street. Again, who is their God? They're trusting in themselves. 1-2% answered their faith in Jesus Christ is the reason they're certain they're going to heaven when they die. That's astounding. These people all think of themselves as Christian, but yet so many of them put their faith in themselves. This is the natural religion of the world. If I'm good enough, God will love me. If I do a good job, my boss will give me a raise. If I'm good enough, my parents will love me. If I'm good enough, can we be good enough to get to heaven? No. There's no way that you and I can be good enough on our own. The only way you and I can be good enough is with the righteousness of God earned by Jesus Christ for you and me. That's the only way that we can be good enough, is with His goodness, not ours. Are we blessed? Can you make yourself believe? Can you make yourself receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? No, we can't even do that on our own, can we? What does it say in the meaning to the third article of the Creed? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. This is God's work in you and me. He did the whole thing. He sent Jesus to earn the salvation, to earn the righteousness, to earn the forgiveness. And then He gives it to us freely. He gives it to all people. There is no exception. For no one is bad enough, no one is evil enough that he can't be forgiven. For God has forgiven everyone from the cross. Everyone. But it must be received by faith. And that receiving is God's work in the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in the Bible, through the Word, and through the sacraments. The Lord's Supper and our baptism. God comes to us and creates in us that strong saving faith that receives the wonderful gifts that Jesus has earned for us. Is there anything that you have to do to be saved? No. God has done it all. It's all done. It's complete. Now, maybe you've heard someone say, well, I didn't ask him to do that. I don't want him to do that for me. I don't need him. I don't want him to do that for me. I'm on my own. You know, you can say to them, it doesn't make any difference what you want, because it's already done. Jesus has already paid for your sins. It's a done deal. It's accomplished already. Doesn't make any difference what you want. It's already there. You can't deny it unless you don't believe it. And by not believing it, oh, what a terrible fate that is, to refuse the wonderful gifts that God lived and died to give you. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And this is why we rejoice. Even in the midst of troubles, even in the midst of temptations, even in the midst of persecutions, even in the midst of problems of financial or whatever, we are still blessed. We still have that promise of everlasting life in heaven. And Anna, when she saw the baby Jesus, she too rejoiced. She was a prophet, one who God spoke to. And she prophesied about this baby. She told about how this baby was to bring God's love. She was 84 years old, and yet she lived in the temple day and night, praising God, fasting and praying. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm too old anymore. I'm too old to work for the church anymore. I'm too old to get involved. Is there such a thing? Not really. There's no such thing as being too old. Someone told me a couple of years ago, when I turned 80, that I was too old to be a pastor. But you know what? Moses was 80 when he was just getting started. And he had 40 years of service leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. You think that was an easy job? No, God was with him all the time, just like he's with you and me, as you and I continue to serve the Lord in every way we possibly can, because that service to God is not done on our own. It's working with God. And again, we are blessed. We are blessed to have him doing the work and we just being a part of it. Think of the joy and the honor and the privilege of working with God. This is what Anna was 84 years old doing as she continued to serve the Lord. And you and I can also be serving the Lord, knowing no retirement, knowing no time that comes along and say, oh, I'm too old to work anymore. No, we can all continue serving him in the best way he gives. He gives it. He gives us the power. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us the ability. Again, it's God's doing, isn't it? And so all through our lives, you and I are never separated from God, but continue to be united with him as Simeon and Anna were, giving glory to God. May we too continue always to give glory to God with our lives and our speech and our songs. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
All right, my friends, let us continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, I do ask that you would please register your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And then let us, as we will continue to bring praise to God through song.
Story of proclaim Messiah.
Stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for having been born, Lord, that God became flesh, that the Word became flesh, that you lived among us, that you took on humanity so that we could be saved, so that you could die for us and rise for us and live for us forever, Lord. And the mystery of how on earth the Creator could become a creature And the fact, Lord, that you still have your body in heaven today. Lord, it is an amazing thing. But what's even more amazing is what you have done with that incarnation, that you used it to rescue us, to pay for our sin, to redeem us, and to make us your children forever. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this, and we can't ever stop. What happened at Christmas has utterly changed everything for us, and we praise you for this. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your people today, Lord, just as you lived. You carried all the burdens, Lord, that we carry today, and Lord, we want to pray for some people who are carrying specific burdens today, Lord. We had three of our members, Lord, pass away before Christmas, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with their families, that you would give them comfort, Lord, and peace. Lord, we pray for the families of Arlene Haynes, for Charlotte, the family of Charlotte Godfrey, and the family of Jim Moss, Lord, as they celebrate your coming, Lord, with even more anticipation now, as they miss one of their dear loved ones. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to just, Lord, bring peace in this world. There's so much war, Lord. You told us there would be. You told us that these days would come, and we're watching them today. Lord, I pray that you would be with all of those who are involved in this conflict in various ways. For those who are fighting, keep them safe and help them to return home, Lord. For those who are leading the troops, that they would do so in ways that would be honorable, Lord, that you would, and those who are in charge of the policies and politics, Lord, that these wars can come to an end. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace. And Lord, we look forward to the day when all peace is real. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless our families, Lord. We thank you for the times we were able to spend together, Lord. I pray that you would continue to grow our love for each other, Lord. Help us to more deeply and more fully and more thoughtfully Love each other, Lord, as we head into this new year, that we may continue to mutually encourage each other, Lord, until you come for us again, that we can encourage each other in faith and in holy living, Lord, and that, Lord, through doing this, we can show and express the love that you have given us. All these things, Lord, we bring before you, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Your own.
Now, we came to this service because we needed God to serve us, and he has once again served us, this time with his very body and blood in this incredible sacrament. And through this body and blood, he promises to give us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And because we know God is good for his word, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we end our service today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. All right, guys. Now, this is the song that I have memories of as a child, that I would sing with such gusto that I would get a little bit dizzy. All right? Now, for me, that might not be such a distance, but let's stand up as we sing the final song together, Joy to the World, and let us do it with gusto.
right. I don't have a lot of announcements this week because pretty much everything is shut down around here. Pastor Bill, is going to be having the Bible study after the service today, and he's going to be spending a little bit more time celebrating and studying what it means that God became flesh and lived among us. And so you're welcome to stay and take part in that. Beyond that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back.